Joining us in studio right now is Chris Zeke Hand. He will be interviewing a famous painter, hopefully after this interview, if not before, who is taking part in an exhibit at Gallery Push.
Howdy.
Hello.
Yeah. let me introduce you. John Claytor. And I did get the pronunciation right, because
yeah.
There it's always visualizing it somehow. It has a D for me, and I have no idea where that comes from.
Claytor?
No, it's actually more like a Dator, Dayton. Oh. I have no idea whether it's an Ohio fixation, but
it
it's John Claytor. And yeah, as Tarek said, you are right now currently taking part in an exhibition at Gallery Push. And Megan was here a couple of weeks ago, and at which point I got a chance to see your stuff, and I was very, very impressed. Congratulations. How's the show going?
It's going well. It's the opening was amazing. I've never had a show with so many people. I didn't know any of them, but it was packed. And
you didn't hold up your share in pushing out invitations?
No, I had my usual
okay.
Five.
Okay, so then you knew five people.
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And there, as far as it going well and stuff like that, is you were impressed with the crowds. Yeah, there it's beyond the Vernissage opening and stuff like that. How has the show been?
Good. Good feedback. Mm-hmm. I don't know. After the paintings are up, I don't really think about it too much.
Okay. So it's a sort of thing out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And hopefully they stay out of sight forever.
That would be the best, yeah.
Although there, it's actually one of the things when I was running a gallery, I'd always keep notes of... try to keep notes of addresses and names of people who bought stuff so that in the future I could
bring them back
yeah. Or keep them updated, or just if they like stuff, at which point it was nice to every now and again when I was feeling blue sort of just, I don't know, call them up or email them and say, hey, and they'd say, oh, it was so wonderful, it was so nice,
yeah.
It was amazing,
yeah.
Make me feel a whole hell of a lot better. And there, in terms of, yeah, just to backtrack a little bit, it's,
okay.
I know that you were born in San Francisco and then somehow made your way out east and then ended up back here, if you can elucidate
the
a little bit on that,
story.
Because it is, to me, it's a very weird sort of triangle.
Well, I was born in San Francisco in 1972, and my dad didn't want to be drafted, necessarily. Mm-hmm. He never was, but and my mother didn't like the fact that schools weren't earthquake proof, and they refused to do anything about it. So they were natural Canadians, I guess, but they're from Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. They came to Canada with me. I was 2 months old, started driving across the country, worried about winter. Sorry. Decided to stop in Winnipeg in September to hunker down and get ready for
the coming winter.
So we spent our first year there, lived all around Ontario. Finally, my dad was going through school, became a biologist, ended up in the Maritimes, where I've gone back every summer since moving to Montreal in 98.
Okay, and how did you get into painting and art?
Well, my mother was a painter, so I sort of just always, was always something I did. I didn't take it in high school. I just thought it was, didn't make any sense to take art. But then, then I didn't take it in university until I already had kids, and I went to university as an excuse to make art because I didn't have a good reason anymore.
Okay.
So,
hold on. Now I'm getting confused. So you went to university and something else, decided to go back to do art.
I didn't
go to university, and then
we should have talked about it. We should have worked this out before. I became a carpenter, cabinet maker.
Okay.
I had my first son was born, but I wanted to paint, which I was always had time to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then I didn't have a good excuse to do it because I wasn't making money painting. So I went to university, and then I've been painting ever since then.
Okay. Yeah. Now I sort of understand. And there it's judging from the stuff that I've seen at Gallery Push and stuff, you tend to deal on sort of, which one, very large scale, in your face portraits.
Yeah.
And so on. Or not so on, period.
Right.
And what sort of induces you to. Because it isn't something to me that is, yeah, your standard issue portrait. So it's the sort of, I know that there are a bunch of artists out there who sort of just make a living by getting commissioned for portraits.
Right.
And they're the sort of standard issue ones that you'd see in that theoretical National Portrait Gallery and so on, where they're very nice and there's not a whole lot of personality. And yours come across with a lot of personality.
You want me to talk about that?
Yeah, in terms of how did you develop that style? Did it just show up? Did it, one day was it a conscious effort? You took too many drugs as a teenager.
There's a few things. One is, to me, I really like the fact that you get this chance to stare at someone have this sort of conversation with the painting that you can't have. Like when I met you, I couldn't just stare at you. I probably could have maybe with you, but average people on the street.
It is a little bit daunting.
Just the other day I watched The Crying Game again.
Okay.
And I remember when that movie came out, and there's this one scene where Forrest Whitaker is in a cricket suit, and everything's black, and he's throwing the cricket ball, and I saw that movie, saw that scene, and then I wanted to make paintings like that, and I think I've just been trying to paint that scene ever since. So, okay. I often think of them as very short movies.
Okay, very short movies or sort of stills taken from a film.
Yeah.
And then the other question is, have you ever done that specific scene within The Crying Game or any other sort of lifts?
No, I never take anything from any, I always take my own photos or work from a live model.
Okay. So. I assume you have a preference of working from a live model?
No, actually. Oh, okay. Because I like to work from photographs because there's less pressure to be nice to the person in the rendering.
Okay.
And I often, I'll use 10 or 20 photographs of like a head from one and the arms from another, or then I'll get somebody to come in and pose so that I can, if I've changed the position.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, so if I got it right now, you probably were in school at the time that The Crying Game came out, and that's how they sort of came together.
I think I was in high school.
Okay, because there I never saw the film. I just know about the soundtrack.
Right.
And so I have no idea talking about. And there as far as...
I think the weather guy does.
Okay. his name is Craig.
Okay.
And there it's as far as... in terms of with the show that you have a gallery push, what are your plans, desires, dreams, and hopes for the future?
I'm working on a show right now for Ingram Gallery in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. That's a very nice gallery.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I've been showing there for 8 years. They're great. Mm-hmm. What I decided to do for this show, I gave myself... Well, originally, I was... Everyone, it's called Naked. Everybody has to be naked in the paintings. And at first I decided I was only going to use blue paint and charcoal.
Okay.
And after about 20 of those, I branched out to gray and red. But
it makes a little bit more sense, yeah. I can understand.
But I'm really enjoying just trying to take everything back down to the beginning, just sort of washes of thin paint. Charcoal, and I actually use hairspray to erase it.
But. Okay, and when you're talking about naked, are these full-length portraits, top shots? Because one of the shows I remember that was most effective, obviously, or at least I discovered after the fact, because sex does sell, was I had the show called Blood Harmony, which was basically torsos naked torsos, men and women, basically in various tattoos and piercings,
right.
And stuff like that.
That was at your gallery.
Yes,
I remember that show.
And it was immensely popular and so on. So yes, for
the... But everybody was cropped.
Yes. It was just enough. And given the nasty nature of naked, are we talking full length or are we talking cropped?
The thing is, I'm working on Masonite, and the size that I work in, I was doing ones that could only be 4 feet wide, so I was running out of room. So then I turned the Masonite sideways, so I do have full frontal, because I felt I had to justify the name.
Okay.
So, but the ones I'm really excited about are 12 feet long, so they're mostly torsos, but without stretched arms.
I see. Okay, and so then it's all full front on, as opposed to sides or other different views.
Yeah, there's different views.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, it's very interesting. I'd be interested in seeing some of the stuff from
the show.
They're
quite different from it, what you've seen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there it's the getting back to the show at Gallery Push, which, if I remember correctly, is 5264 Saint Laurent.
I think think so.
Okay, and that show is on up until the, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, the 11th?
The 11th, yeah.
Yes, uh-huh, no, there it's definitely a show that I would highly recommend to everybody, just if anything, because the Gallery Push itself is a very interesting space. However, then over and above that, John's paintings are very, very amazing. There's one final question and okay. so on in terms of, given that you've been at Ingram Gallery and Gallery Push, you have a sort of not necessarily national scope on Canadian art, but you do have a slightly broader view of Canadian art than just a local Montreal, especially once you toss in your East Coast experiences right. and so on. Do you have any particular sensation, feelings about what I would almost consider a proverbial or stereotypical Canadian artist? And apologies if you have other implications or read anything into the stereotypicalness. I can explain it afterwards as well. But more, what do you think of the Canadian art, and what is your take on Canadian art with regards to sort of a more international scene?
That's hard to answer. I guess I think there's two, definitely, to me, there's two different streams of Canadian art. There's sort of an academic approach, mm-hmm. and then there's the more rootsy
okay.
sort of hand approach, and they do cross over. And but I'm more interested in sort of just the less academic
okay,
side of things.
Because I find that it's, well, I do find that everybody does sort of split up Canadian art into many different sort of subsections.
Right.
The one thing that I find is, yeah, whether it's academic art and rootsy stuff, whether it is commercial and sort of theoretical, whether it is
right.
sculpture and painting or multimedia,
yeah.
the thing that I find overwhelming, why I tend to group it all together, is that there's an awful lot of great art here. However, mm-hmm. getting known across
outside.
Borders is next to impossible. There
yeah.
are maybe six artists that I can name off the top of my head who are known beyond the borders as Canadian artists, and that's pushing it.
Yeah.
And at which point, yeah, that was what I was sort of aiming for with the question was, do you feel that same sort of, I don't know, being locked into
Canada?
North of the 49th, or do you have any ways and ideas on how to get out of that?
I don't mind it so much. I don't think it necessarily. I know at Ingram Gallery, it's in Toronto. Like, most of my work sells outside of Canada. It doesn't mean that anybody knows who I am outside
okay.
of Canada. But to me, it's from one person to another, or me to the individual. That's what's rewarding for me, rather than seeing my name in a newspaper. Though I do like that too.
Okay.
and just. Yeah, so one thing that I'm excited about is the downturn in the economy, which we were talking about earlier. It's good for rent, but I think people are going to want to see art that's more personal and less sensational, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed for that.
it's, I would say, yes, taking that sort of downturn in the economy, it becomes, as opposed to looking at the prices and saying, oh, that must be art because it's selling for lots of money. It's a sort of thing where it's, oh, that's just art to see. And that's one of the things I also find with Canadian art, or more specifically Quebecois art, is that because the Quebec government, I repeat this, almost become like a mantra, but the Quebec government does such a phenomenal job of supporting art mm-hmm. that it is the sort of thing where people who live here almost say, okay, the way that I'm supporting it is by going to view it,
right.
which is an amazing sensation and a wonderful thing, but there are, even if the rents do get depressed and stuff like that, artists still do need to pay rent and,
exactly,
and
yeah.
buy food and stuff like that. And going to see stuff sometimes doesn't quite pay the bills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, once again, thank you very, very cool. much. I highly, highly recommend to everybody out there listening, go see the show. It's called Characteristics.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's at Gallery Push until the 11th of January, 5264 Saint-Laurent. And John Clater, thank you very, very much for coming in and being a guest.
Thanks for having me.